الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما تفرق الذين أوتوا الكتاب إلا من بعد ما جاءتهم البينة وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين حنفاء ويقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة وذلك دين القيمة إن الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب والمشركين في نار جهنم خالدين فيها أولئك هم شر البرية إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات أولئك هم خير البرية جزاؤهم عند ربهم جنات عدن تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه ذلك لمن خشي ربه صدق الله العظيم.
We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon our most beloved, most respected, most revered Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again reminding ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us that today we have the honor of sitting in the sanctity of the masjid and discussing the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. In the previous discussion, we spoke about why the Ahlul Kitab failed to accept Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam despite the signs that they had knowledge of being apparent and obvious in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and in the person of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to conclude that area of discussion, we'll bring forward one hadith that Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah has brought in his tafsir, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks with regard to the verse about the Ahlul Kitab, the people of the book, splitting into many groups. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَ الْيَهُودَ اِخْتَلَفُوا عَلَىٰ إِحْدَى وَسَبْعِينَ فِرْقَةً وإن النصارى اختلفوا على 72 فرقة. He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that verily the Jews they split up. They had differences of opinion, and they split up into 71 groups. And the Christians, they split up into 72 groups.
وَسَتَفْتَرِقُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ عَلَى 73 فِرْقَةً.
My Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that very soon this ummah, يعني the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, will soon split into 73 different groups.
كُلُّهَا فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا وَاحِدَةً.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, every single one of these groups will go into Jahannam except for one group.
فَقَالُوا مَنْ هُمْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ.
The Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi ajma'in queried that who is that one group, Ya Rasulullah?
So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam responded,
مَا أَنَا عَلَيَّ وَأَصْحَابِ. That which I and my Sahaba are upon. So long as we are following the Quran and the Hadith, this is commonly why the right group are referred to as the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So long as we are following the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba, then we will insha'Allah remain protected. Nowadays there are a group who profess to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam directly. They say, no, we don't follow the Sahaba, and we don't, you know, the Sahaba, they pray 20 rakats tarawih, we don't follow the Sahaba, we follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, just an example, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not pray 20 rakats of tarawih, so we will not pray 20 rakats of tarawih. And then Ramzan time comes, and in Masjid Nurul Islam, after 8 rakats, we see people standing up and watching out, yeah, with their shoulders held very high. This is not something to be proud about. When we say that, no, I am not following the Sahaba, I am following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Sahaba prayed 20 rakats of Tarawih, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not, we are also, by extension, saying that the Sahaba did not follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because you are saying, I'm following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I'm not following the Sahaba. So who are the Sahaba following? Yeah? So we are also, by extension, you know, between the lines, we are saying that, no, the Sahaba did not follow Rasulullah. So this is a very big disrespect and blasphemy against the esteemed Sahaba with one Allah ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا أَنَا عَلَيَّ وَأَصْحَابِي, he didn't just stop with what I am doing, what also what my Sahaba are doing. The Sahaba, they have the status that when they have a consensus, when the Sahaba have a consensus upon a matter, it becomes part of what we call al-dalilul qat'i. When something, the fardiyah of something can be established through the consensus of the Sahaba. This is the status of the Sahaba. They have been given this special status by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as is apparent in this hadith. Moving on, we move on to the next verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. They were not commanded, يعني the Ahlul Kitab, the Jews and the Christians. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing comparisons between the Torah, the Zabur, the Injil and the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, they were not commanded, إِلَّا except to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, making the religion sincere for him alone, with ikhlas, yani for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Hunafa comes from the word which means to turn. And here it means turning away from ghayrullah, turning away from everything besides Allah, and turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is also why this deen is called deen hanif. The deen of Ibrahim alayhi salam is called deen hanif, because we, the people who followed Ibrahim alayhi salam, they turned away from everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here the da'wah is to turn away from the idols, turn away from all ghayrullah, and make your deen about Allah, مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, making your deen about Allah and Allah alone. And this was the mansha, this was what Ibrahim alayhi's deen was about. This was what Ismail alayhi salam, Ishaq alayhi salam, Yaqub alayhi salam, Yusuf alayhi salam, all of the prophets, this is what their deen was all about. Making the deen sincere and monotheistic to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, you know, the deen that was in the books of the Jews, right? And the deen that was in the books of the Christians, and the deen that was in the book of the Quran is not different. It's not, it doesn't, if for example, if the Quran had brought a deen that was very different to all the books previous, then chalo, we can accept their justification for not accepting Islam. That, all right, fine. They've been following one deen all these years, right? And suddenly the Prophet ﷺ has brought something that's completely different. This is why we are not going to follow it, because it goes against what all the other prophets have revealed, have brought down to us. But Allah SWT is saying that wasn't even the case. You know? Like, that wasn't even the case. The deen that Rasulullah SAW brought was exactly the same. Yeah, there was very few juz'iyat, there was very few small things that had changed, the number of rakats of salah, etc. Maybe the ahkam of zakat, etc. Very, very small amount of things that had changed. But the principles of the deen were the same. And Allah SWT describes those principles here. So Allah SWT is saying that it's not as if the deen was so different. It was the same deen. Yeah, so you have no reason, and your not accepting Islam is not justified. The deen was exactly the same. The only problem you had was that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was from Banu Ismail, and all other prophets from Banu Ishaq. The deen itself was the same. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here describes what was in the Quran and what was in the previous books. وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُ الزَّكَاةَ. Yeah, to pray salah and to give zakah. That's what the previous prophets taught. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught. This is what was previous in the previous books, in the Torah, Zabur, and Injil. And this is what is in the Quran. So it's exactly the same. How can you not accept it? وَذَٰلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ. And that is the دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ, the sound deen. And we've described previously already what دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ means. One point before we conclude the surah about ikhlas. Now here we have mukhlisina lahuddin making. There's so much actually you can say about ikhlas. There's pages and pages and hours you can speak about ikhlas. One noteworthy point that I found that my respected late ustad, Sheikh Malaysu Mutala rahmatullahi alayhi, has narrated in his own tafsir from one of the previous tafsirs. He mentions that ikhlas, so just to introduce ikhlas, ikhlas is doing actions with the purpose of pleasing Allah alone, and not doing anything to please the people or to have a reputation amongst the people, or for you to, you know, do something that people will say, oh, you know, he's such a big scholar, or he's so generous, or whatever it might be. So that's ikhlas, being sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat Abdullah Ali narrates, and he says that ikhlas, when a person believes that he has ikhlas in him, this belief that I have ikhlas in me also has to have ikhlas. So you have to be mukhlis in that as well, that I am mukhlis. So when a person starts to believe that I have ikhlas in me and I am mukhlis, then this actually is a deficiency in his ikhlas. It's a very deep and amazing point. So when a person, when a person believes that he has ikhlas in him, if he truly did have ikhlas in him, this thought and this belief is actually a deficiency in his ikhlas. So for a person to have true, full ikhlas, and true ikhlas, once this thought goes away, that I have ikhlas, then you can say that, okay, maybe this person has full ikhlas now. So long as a person believes that, oh, no, I have ikhlas, then this is not true ikhlas. So it's quite a deep point, something to really consider. The easiest thing is to just forget about everyone else. Forget about the person that's on your left. Forget about the person that's on your right. Forget everyone. Forget your parents. Forget your children. Forget your wife. Forget everyone. When you see Allahu Akbar, you're throwing everything behind you. And it's Allah and Allah alone. Yeah, and then there's so many things to this. You know, some people say that I might be in my room, I'm all alone, I'm praying my salah, and I'm doing it with ikhlas. Somebody walks in, I should shut my namaz off. Why? Because before it was me doing it for Allah. Now someone else has come in, I'll be showing off. No, the thought that has come to you that I should shut my namaz down, this is from shaitan. You should carry on with that salah, and in your mind and your heart, we should pray to Allah, that Ya Allah, help me, give me sincerity. And this is something, end of the day, we are weak. And naturally, what happens is when we do something good and people look, then naturally within us, we feel happy. You know, that we'll have a reputation now or whatever it might be. But the thing is, the secret is to carry on doing what we are doing, but then praying to Allah, that Ya Allah, give me true ikhlas. Give me true ikhlas, because Allah is the one that can only give us true ikhlas. So, you know, we need to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and continue to do good a'mal. Moving on to the final verses of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then concludes the surah by describing the destination and the abode of the non-Muslims and the Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ. Verily, the people who disbelieved, مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ, from the people of the book, وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ, and the polytheists, فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, they will be in the fire of Jahannam, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, they will be there forever, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ, they are the worst of creation. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, verily the people who believed, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and they did good a'mal, and they did good actions, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ, these are the best of people. Now, there are two points I want to make here. The first point is, Imam Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, the famous scholar of the past, he has an opinion that Jahannam will not last forever. Now, I'm no expert on this topic of aqidah, but this verse does go against his opinion. He has an opinion that time will come when Jahannam will end and the people in Jahannam, they will basically cease to exist. However, this verse goes against his opinion, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, they will be in Jahannam forever. Now, this is for the people who pass away on kufr. May Allah protect us and may Allah give us husnul khatima. Obviously, there are three groups of people. Those people who will go directly into Jannah. Those people who will go directly into Jahannam. May Allah make us from those who go directly into Jannah. Ameen. And the third group of people are those people who will go into Jahannam temporarily after their sins have been atoned for and they have been punished enough to wipe and cleanse their sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wash their bodies and they will be able to then enter Jannah. However, we are weak and we don't have the ability to even hack Jannah for a while. The Jews used to say, oh, it's fine, you know. We'll go into Jahannam for a few days and then after that we'll go to Jannah. Allah is saying here, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ, the people who disbelieve from the people of the book. Allah is telling the Jews that you think you're going to go in Jahannam for a small period of time and then go to Jannah? No, that's not the point. You have to believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to even think of entering into Jannah. And another point is, if we have that mindset that, okay, fine, you know, I'm a Muslim, I can go to Jahannam for a bit, then I'll go to Jannah forever. Do we even know what a bit is? Can we even comprehend what a bit is? Yeah? You know, a person who misses one salah, he will go into Jahannam for 80 huqub. One is lasts 1,000 years. No, one lasts, so it's 80 years each day, lasting 1,000 years of this world. And in Jahannam, yeah, we the fire of Jahannam is 70 times hotter than the fire of this world. It's maybe not the right place for it, but there was a famous saying from the famous late boxer Muhammad Ali. He used to say that whenever I mean, it's a point worthy of comprehending and listening and appreciating. He used to say that whenever I think of committing a sin, because I get a lighter and I put my finger on it, I see how long I can burn my finger for. Then I move it away and I think to myself that I can't go to hell because I can't hack a few seconds of the fire of this world. How am I going to hack so many years in hell? And it's true. It's a very, very valid point. That if we think to ourselves that, oh, I'll go into Jahannam for a bit and I'll go to Jannah. No, that's not going to work. Try and see how long you last in the fire of this world. And then try and think about the fire of Jahannam. May Allah protect us and give us the ability to do good and seek forgiveness for that which we have done bad. The second point is that some scholars, from the second verse, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ. They are the best of creation, the people who bring iman and do good. Some scholars have established from this verse, from them is Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an. He is a sahabi. And وَطَائِفَةٌ مِنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ. And a group of scholars with them have established from this that the status of humanity is higher than the status of the angels. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here has said, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَةِ. They are the best of creation. So the malaika, the angels, they are also creation. So Allah is saying they are the best of creation. So they are of the opinion that humans, Muslims amongst humans, they have a status even higher than the angels. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam wal-ilmu inda Allah al-latif al-khabir. جزاؤهم عند ربهم. The reward will be with the Lord. جنات عدن تجري. جنات عدن, eternal gardens. تجري من تحتها الأنهار, from beneath which rivers will flow. خالدين فيها أبدا. They will be and stay in there forever. أبدا, forever. رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عن. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him. ذَٰلِكَ لِمَنْ خَشْيَ رَبَّهُ. That is for that person who feared his Lord. Just a few points here. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْ. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. It's a very beautiful hadith here. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah has brought on the authority of Hazrat Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala an. He says, عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه إن الله تبارك وتعالى يقول لأهل الجنة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the people of Jannah, يا أهل الجنة. O people of Jannah. Allah is addressing the people of Jannah and the people of Jannah are responding. فيقولون لبيك وسعديك والخير في يديك. لبيك, yeah, we are here, we are present. وسعديك, وَالْخَيْرُ فِي يَدَيْكَ, and all goodness is in your hands. فَقَالْ فَيَكُولْ هَلْ رَضِيْتُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the people of Jannah, هَلْ رَضِيْتُمْ. Are you happy? Are you content? Yeah, are you content? فَيَكُولُونَ مَا لَنَا لَنَا اللَّهِ وَقَدْ عَطَيْتَنَا مَا لَمْ تُعْتِ أَهَدًا مِنْ خَلْكِكَ. They will respond that, مَا لَنَا لَنَا اللَّهِ. What is our matter? Yeah, what's the matter with us that we cannot be happy when you have given us such blessings that you have not given any of your creation? فَيَكُولُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, أَلَا أُتِيتُ أَلَا أُعُتِيكُمْ أَفْضَلَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Shall I give you something that's even better than all of this? يعني Jannah, palaces and streams of milk and honey and everything you want, everything that yourself you desire, Allah has given it to you. So Allah will say that, shall I give you something that's even better than all of this, than Jannah and everything? So they will say, فَيَكُولُونَ يَا رَبْ وَأَيُّ شَيْءٍ أَفْضَلَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. You'll say, Ya Allah, what thing can be better than this?
فَيَكُولُ أُهِلَّ عَلَيْكُمْ رِضْوَانِي
فَلَا أَسْخَتُ بَعْدَهُ أَبَدًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to them that today I have made my happiness halal upon you. I have opened up my happiness upon you. فَلَا أَسْخَتُ بَعْدَهُ أَبَدًا. After today, I will never, ever, ever be angry with you ever again. And so the scholars say that this ridwan, this rida, radiallahu anhum wa ridwan, and this rida, this happiness that Allah gives His servant is the greatest blessing. But there's a difference of opinion amongst the scholars about what is the greatest blessing that Allah will give us. Others have mentioned that it's the seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At one point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the veil between Himself and the people of Jannah, and they will be able to see Him. Other scholars have said that this is the greatest blessing. And according to this hadith, this is the greatest blessing, that to have the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that basically when a person receives the ridwan, the rida and the contentment and happiness of Allah, his mission accomplished now. Our whole purpose of being created was to make Allah happy. And Allah is saying, I'm happy with you. I'm never going to be upset with you ever again. So this is it. This is you've reached the end. You've completed the mission. You have accomplished. You don't need to do anything else anymore. Yeah, you have no challenges left in life. You have just happiness and eternal bliss and nothing else to worry about ever again. Such a beautiful moment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with this moment as well. And finally, to conclude, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَٰلِكَ لِمَنْ خَشَّ رَبَّ. This is for the person who fears his Lord. So here the word that has been used is خَشِيَّ. That is, there's many words for fear. There's خَوْف, there's خَشِيَّ, there's تَقْوَى. There's many words in the Arabic language for fear. The word خَشِيَّ isn't the kind of fear that you feel from an enemy. Or it's not the kind of fear that you feel from a dangerous animal. Like, there's a XL bully dog on the loose. Yeah, they've been in the news recently attacking people. So that kind of fear that you have from that kind of animal, or the kind of fear you might have from a lion or a tiger, or an animal that can make a meal out of you, it's not that kind of fear. That's a fear of, you can attack me. That's that kind of fear. Or it's not the kind of fear that a person fears from a king who might punish him. Yeah? It's not that kind of fear either. The kind of fear, khashiyah, is the kind of fear that comes when a person respects, loves, and reveres an individual so much, that the only fear is upsetting this person. Yeah? That fear, that I don't want to upset my Allah. That, not the fear that, Allah can harm me, or Allah can put me into Jahannam. That fear that, no, I don't want to make Allah upset with me. That is khashiyah. And there's a very big difference between the two. For example, you have a teacher, and he is feared for different reasons. Some students might fear a teacher that, he'll give me a few sticks. And now this zamana, in this zamana, there's no such thing. Yeah, as the teacher hitting the student with a stick. When we were young, we used to get it. However, and it was sort of accepted. So we used to have fear from certain teachers that, this teacher, he's got a big stick. Yeah, and he hurts his stick. That teacher, his stick's all right. It doesn't hurt too much. But that's one kind of fear. And another kind of fear is that, that ustad, he treats me so nicely. He always treats me with love. If he catches me cheating, he'll be upset with me. No, I don't want to make him upset. That's the difference in the two. One reason why you're not cheating in your exam is because you're scared of being hit. And one reason you're not cheating in your exam is you're scared of making your teacher upset. It's a very, very, very big difference. So khashiyah is that kind of fear that, no, I don't want to make my Allah sad. I don't want to make him upset with me. We have a covenant. We have an agreement. Allah has created me. He's done so much for me. How can I make this being upset? This is khashiyah. That fear that stems from love and reverence. Many, many lessons to learn from this surah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to understand the Quran truly and fully. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us love the Quran, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Quran love us. May Allah make us the men of the Quran, people of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the light of the Quran and make the Quran a companion for us in the grave. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Quran a means of our entry into Jannat al-Firdaus without hisab, without kitab. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give guidance to the Jews and the Christians and the polytheists and all the people who have not been blessed with Islam and Iman. We pray from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He blesses them with Iman and He blesses them with Islam. For this is truly what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the whole ummah hidayah and ease, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on the difficult situation of the ummah today. So many difficult things happening to the ummah and difficult times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the ummah and bless us with better times. Ameen, 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 ya rabbal alameen. وصلى الله تعالى على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين.